Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Pop Art Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. Sure, I'm glad you did. I am very, very excited. Number one, my hands are about to fall off. I've been finishing up the local holiday orders now, and I'm on the downhill side of it. I am. I think I've got about, I don't know, maybe another 5-6 hours to go. And that'll be finished. My season will be done. So I'm right at the end. And the great thing about doing the show is, and people always ask me, they're like, why do you schedule shows during this time of year? And the reason is my sanity. That it's really that simple. I like doing the shows because it breaks up the day. And at this time of year, you know, folks, these are 18, 19-hour days. Really the month of December that I have to put in, and I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm very, very pleased with the work. I just, it's nice to take a break, talk to some cool people, focus on some cool stuff, and, you know, and let my hands rest, baby, let my hands rest. And tonight's no different. So speaking of cool people and just a cool project, I was so excited. We were just talking about this off mic before the show. I was friends or am friends on Facebook, I think it was. It might have been Instagram. I can't remember. With the lead singer of this band, Zach. He's just wicked cool and whatnot. And he posted a video. This was probably last month. I don't know, a couple weeks ago, something like that. And I saw it and I listened to it and I was blown away. I was like, wow, this is fantastic. This is fantastic. And I was just blown away. And at first, you know, my first thought is I've got to get them on the show. You know, let me try to track down their PR agent or whatnot. And if it's even possible, because they could, I said, these guys are so cool, man. These guys could be in London or Moscow or, you know, someplace, Perth, Australia, who knows. Turns out they're from my old hometown, Detroit, Michigan. Explains a lot in the cool department, and I was just so, I'm such a fan of theirs now. I've been listening to their music, and I just really, really dig it. And without further ado, I would like to welcome Zach and Emily. They make up the band Vazoom. Now, hopefully I'm saying that correctly. Zach,
yes,
Emily.
So, great. Yes, hello. Yes. Hi. How are you? it's an interpretive band name because there are several ways to say it, so we don't we like, as long as you're saying it, that's all we really care about. But we've heard Vazoom, 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 depending. So yeah, but we're from Detroit, so it's Vazoom.
Vazoom. I like it. It's fantastic. I still want to put my pinky out when I say it, but I love it now a lot. It's fantastic. Now, your genre, and you know, I've had a couple of people ask me on Twitter and whatnot. They're like, death gaze? What the hell is that, man? And I'm like, well, if you read the, you know, on our web flyer, we have the whole little thing where it explains it and whatnot, but obviously you didn't read that. It's pretty cool, man. I never would have mixed death rock and shoegaze. I never would have thought that that could blend. But it does.
Yeah.
And it does well. That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Emily came up with the term death gaze. And since we've been using that term for almost 2 years now. And since we've started using it, other people have kind of caught on. And there's a band from Japan called, they're called Death Gaze. So But besides that, no one's really using it except for us. So it's nice.
Yeah, it's nice. And then it's neat to see how things kind of snowball. And so this term we thought, oh, well, let's you know, come up with something that's different. There's so many niches and genres, and what does this mean? What does that mean? We'll just make it really clear cut. And then we saw a review about a year after we had been releasing things with that hashtag, and someone said, oh, here is so-and-so band, not our band. Here's so-and-so band, one of the top Death Gaze artists.
Wow.
And we're
see?
Like, huh? We're like, really? It's like a scoop with like a roll? Okay.
That's awesome.
It, you know, and interpreting it and, you know, bringing it, you know, into more of the popular culture. So it's pretty cool. It's pretty neat to see that.
Well, it's very cool. And I remember, and I was living in Detroit in the late 80s, early 90s. When the shoegaze kind of hit, it wasn't super popular. You know, you might hear the big club to hang out at the time was called City Club, and I lived up in the hotel, that terrible hotel above it. But the my part was nice. Yeah, but you'd hear like maybe two songs, maybe two shoegaze songs a night at City Club. That was about it.
Yeah.
But it was cool, yep. Man. All the cool kids knew what it was. You know, we'd all suck our cheeks in and be real superior to everybody else, but because we knew what it was. It was cool.
Usually,
I liked that scene.
Usually it was a lot of house music, and then at 2 a.m. they'd start playing the goth stuff for you. So you were lucky.
Exactly.
You were lucky to get your like a little bit, and then sometimes like some grunge. Like Mudhoney.
Right.
They'd throw that
there. Absolutely. It was weird when the whole the grunge thing hit. I remember I went back to I had went to school out in Boston, and so I had moved away, and I had a friend of mine was doing a club night or something, and she goes, hey, why don't you come and DJ it? I'm like, I'm a terrible DJ. You don't want me to DJ. She goes, no, finally, all that weird music that you liked in high school and stuff, everybody likes that now, you know? And So come DJ. So, of course, I rolled into town. I wanted to visit my parents and whatever anyway. But so I came for a weekend and rolled into town, and I started playing all this weird stuff I was into at the time, which wasn't the stuff I was listening to in high school that apparently everybody liked, you know, the grunge stuff and whatnot, and kind of hard alternative. I was more into like, you know, Berlin techno industrial stuff and whatnot. And everybody was like, what the hell is this, Jamie? What are you playing? Sounds like hell. It's terrible. And so, yeah, that's why I'm not a DJ, ladies and gentlemen. I'm terrible at it. Don't play with a good DJ plays what the crowd wants to hear, not what they want to hear. But the cool thing is you guys don't have that problem because you guys are making these trends. You're putting out fantastic music. Now, were you both into death metal and or death rock, I should say, and shoegaze, and then said, "Hey, let's mix these two?" Or was Zach more into the shoegaze scene and Emily into the death rock? How did all of it come together?
I'm more of like a grunge background, and so death rock was still kind of new to me. But Emily. Was in the death rock early on, same with shoegaze. So she kind of exposed it. She kind of exposed some of that to me.
Yes, it's flattering to
see.
Thank you for thinking I was so much younger than you, but I actually was attending like slow dive concerts at the Latin Quarter and all of the stuff.
I can't believe nobody remembers that. That is so awesome.
Yeah, Lush and Ride there, and I definitely was into the shoegaze and death rock side of it, and then I think Didn't you, Zach, didn't you, you were really into shoegaze too?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I was into shoegaze, but, you know, just a little bit, you know, just like My Bloody Valentine.
Nice.
Was pretty much the
nice
shoegaze band that I knew.
That's awesome.
But me and Emily had, we didn't really know it, but we have very similar musical tastes in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So everything we like what each other likes.
That's cool, man. It is cool when you can. I'm not in the music business. I'm a painter by trade. I've been painting pictures of people for years. It's what how I make a living. But everybody I know, and I've told this story so many times on the show. People are like, "Oh, I know, Jamie. We hear it. All your friends were musicians in Detroit. They really were. That's who I hung out with because musicians are cool, man. And you know, they always know a lot of girls and have the best parties. And you know, they always need a drum kit painted, you know, with a logo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Painted
yeah.
a lot of those.
Yep.
And leather jacket. I painted so many leather jackets. Oh man, you don't even know.
Ooh,
but
yeah, that was a huge. That was a serious cottage industry.
Oh, big time, big time. I have paid. I have paid, bought groceries many times when I was youngest,
yeah.
doing just that. But no, it's cool. It's cool, and it's what I was going to say, though, is so I've been around musicians a lot, and I understand that, you know, bands and stuff are a lot harder than people think. Just finding someone that you can, you know, jam with, that you can merge with, you know, that gets you and you get them and it works, that's not a real – that doesn't happen every day. It's kind of a real kind of rare and special thing. And it's cool that you guys found each other and whatnot. How did that happen? How did you guys, just know each other from around the scene or how did it happen?
We actually met at City Club.
Mm. Oh my gosh, yeah. You guys, I just drank the hot coffee, a big gulp of it. I didn't mean to. That's amazing. That is amazing. See, there you go. City Club. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
$3 pitchers of beer. That was the that was the thing. Oh my gosh!
Oh,
yeah. Well, there you go.
You
guys were hanging out, being cool at City Club, and then you just started talking. And hey, we're musicians.
Yeah. Like, well,
that's cool.
We didn't start playing music together till later. At first, we were just friends.
Yeah, we were just hanging
gotcha.
out, and I wanted to quickly segue, and I'm sure that you would want to know, but sadly we lost DJ Charles English. I don't know if you were.
I saw, man.
I can't bear to mention City Club without saying rest in peace. And he was just such an integral part of that team. So I just wanted to say that. Yeah.
I tell you, I think the first club I heard, now this is real old history. From people in the scene, our listeners won't have any idea what we're talking about, but from the Detroit scene and whatnot, I first heard him spin at Todd's, which is up on Seven Mile and Van Dyke way back in the day. I mean, this was like, I think 87 maybe, 88?
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
I
saw that.
Yeah,
I
saw him there at Todd's when Shadow Project played there. So they tried to revive Todd's a little bit. It just didn't work. But, you know, because that part of town was just really, really sketchy.
Terrible.
So, but, yeah.
I got socked in the jaw. And it isn't nearly as glamorous, ladies and gentlemen, as you're thinking. No. There was, long story short, there was a liquor store that would sell to my ID. I happened to find an ID. I'm just going to say I may or may not have found it in the street in the gutter that remotely looked like me. But anyway, this liquor store would sell to me. The bar wouldn't. Todd's wouldn't. They'd let me in, but they wouldn't. I couldn't drink. I was a kid.
Right.
And, I was going in this liquor store to, you know, get a little half pint or quarter pint or whatever it was, half pint, I think, and an orange juice. That was the mixing up screwdrivers in the car before you went into the club. That was what we did back in the day. And the place was getting robbed, and the robber was running out as I was walking in, and he hit me in the chin with the door, and he hit me the right chin, the right side of my chin, and I was bleeding out of my left ear. So my face was Yeah, and that was indicative of that neighborhood. And I haven't been there in 20 years. That neighborhood could be nice now. I don't know. But Emily's saying it's still pretty rough. It doesn't surprise me. It was a rough neighborhood.
It's getting better. But,
cool, man.
Yeah, but that was the place to be.
That's cool. Well, it sucks about his passing, and he's in a VIP room up in the sky somewhere now, man. I'm telling you, probably DJing it. He was quite the man. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
This is a message from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Older adults and people of any age who have serious underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for severe illness from COVID-19. If you are at higher risk, you should stay home as much as possible and avoid close contact with people who are sick to protect yourself. Call your doctor if you have concerns about COVID-19 and your medical condition, or if you get sick. For more information, visit cdc.gov.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store, it's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers shrine clothing and alchemy gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. started making music, you met, you're hanging out, you're going to clubbing, all this and that, and looking very cool and whatnot. And you're like, we're just so cool, we got to start a band. That's just, you know, we got to do something, right?
I had the band going before with some of my other friends. And then me and Emily started writing songs together. And when we were first doing it, we weren't even sure that it would be Vasm. We thought maybe it would be a different project. But over time, it just kind of gelled over time. And then when the pandemic hit, the band, everyone that I was playing with and, you know, my friends that I was playing with, they kind of just flaked out. So then me and Emily,
right,
it was just two of us. And then that's how we became a duo.
I gotcha. Well, you know, there's been some big duos in the past. So, you know, here's to a big one in the future, too. I think it's fantastic. I love the music. Now, we've got four tracks we're going to play tonight. In you know, whatever order you want us to play them in, we'll play them. Were these all written, I'm curious, during the lockdown, the pandemic?
Yeah. All those songs were recorded in 2020, mostly within the last year.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that is cool.
The writing process probably started, like the scratch writing process and concepting certain ones started in 2019. But then because of the pandemic, Zach really like put the nose to the grindstone and learned a lot about recording and engineering because we didn't know if it would be possible to get another, you know, place to record. And there was kind of, it's like an urgency to it. And then also, very nice to be able to, when you have an idea, just have more of an immediate product when you can control all the different aspects of that. So it turned out great. So now we have kind of from that a system now in place that we can, if we've got an idea, we can sit down and within a couple of weeks have it recorded and mastered and uploaded.
Wow.
So, it's born.
Emily, Zach, you're not supposed to be able to do that.
Right.
You know, you're supposed to go pay a bunch of money and a big studio for that. No, that's awesome.
Right.
You can't beat that. Oh, man, I am telling you, production, I am so impressed with. During the lockdown, I got in this weird kick. Like, I don't know, my wife's cool. You know, she can watch, I can't even think of the name of it, Love Island or whatever, or The Tiger King. Or, she's happy. You know, she likes that kind of stuff. I can't stand that kind of stuff. I can't, you know. So I started watching all these weird YouTube channel shows, I guess. I don't know what else to call them. And one of my favorites is this great channel. I don't know if you guys have checked it out, but it's called Produce Like a Pro. And they just have all these videos about, like, production and what. Oh, you know, here's how you get you can get that big open gate sound if you do this or that. And my mind was blown. I'm not in the music business, but I find it fascinating. I really never realized how difficult all that is.
Yeah. I watch a lot of videos like that too. And especially like if there's something specific that I'm trying to figure out, like mastering, for instance, was this like weird, like mysterious thing. And it wasn't until recently that I decided that I would just master it myself. And then I realized I just watched a couple YouTube videos. And
you
know, figure it out.
Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. There's some producer now listening to this podcast crying right now. I've been working 30 years at this. Oh, my God. Can you figure it out from some videos? Come on. Boy, it's
all hail to channels.
Yeah. I mean, when you're making music like what we're doing, where, like, we're not trying to sell our music to, like, a commercial or anything like that. We're making it because we want to make it. So why not have all the control? Why not do everything yourself, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's cool, too. It's very – I was reading a book about Motown, the Motown era in Detroit history. I don't know. This is probably 6 months ago, something like that, maybe a year ago. But it was back a bit. But they were talking about the Funk Brothers and whatnot, who were, you know, big driving force behind the Motown scene. And they were talking about all these weird effects and whatnot that they would – they're like, yeah, we needed something – we didn't want a tambourine that sounded too, you know, white, for lack of a better term, I think they used. but we wanted something – so they went out and they got some snow chains off their car and, like, brought them into the studio and were shaking them. And they're like, that was the sound. That's what we needed. And if you listen to, like, the Supremes, like Reflections or any of that, there's all these weird, like, distortions and synthesizers, like little beeps and boops and whatnot in the background of it. Mm-hmm. And it's cool because here you guys are doing, you know, death rock, which is pretty in your face. You know, that's pretty hardcore. And then, you know, mixing it with shoegaze, which has these, like, kind of, like, neo-psychedelic aspects to it and whatnot. And it's all coming out of Detroit. It's like, yeah, there's a weird spirit there, and it's still there. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
And that's cool, man. That is cool. Let's play a track, guys. Let's play a track. We've got Carol of the Witch, Embers, Haunted House, and Unspoken. What should we hit people with first, do you think?
Let's do Haunted House.
Awesome. Here it is, everybody. We're going to play it, then we'll talk about it. Check this out. This is a fantastic track. We'll be right back. Vazoom, Haunted House, ladies and gentlemen. What a track. What a track. Oh, my gosh. And Emily and Zach, we were talking off mic while the track was playing. Were telling me a little bit about that track and whatnot. Very emotion track. Very emotion. How'd you put it, Emily? A anthem of survivors
against
of domestic violence, right? Or against domestic violence.
Yep. Yep,
nice.
The survivor.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, that stuff can be pretty crazy. Pretty crazy sometimes. It's, not cool, man. Not cool. If you, I'm just going to say this. If anybody's listening that, you got some anger issues or something, don't talk to somebody. Figure that shit out. You don't want to be a news story. We got enough of that in the world right now, you know?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yep.
Crazy. Well, what a great track. What a great track. Now, these tracks that we're playing tonight, we have links up. And Vazoom doesn't mess around when it comes to social media. They're on everything, all of the social media platforms. But they're, you can get these tracks on at Bandcamp, right? These are available.
Yeah. Yes.
Nice.
Bandcamp, Spotify.
And then that song has an accompanying music video that we made. So I would say about a quarter of our songs have a video. So there's also our YouTube channel. Yep, there's also our YouTube channel that has all the premieres. Yami Speechy did a really awesome DJ. He did a premiere of a video recently. So
very cool. Very cool. Yeah, you guys do a lot of videos. And I think that's fantastic. You know, and that's one of my questions I always ask my musician friends and whatnot when it comes to video. You know, do you like doing them or are they a necessary evil? It's kind of a go-to question. Obviously, with you guys, you like doing them because you have a whole bunch of them.
Yeah.
Emily, she does all the videos, all the photography and artwork. Because her background is with art and with making jewelry.
Nice. Very cool, man.
Huge film nerd. Not ashamed to admit. I love old horror, Italian horror, like Dario Argento.
Nice.
And Lucio Fulci and all of the giallo stuff definitely left an impression on me.
Well, I knew that you had to have had a background in graphics or visual arts or and whatnot. Film doesn't surprise me either because the videos are very cool and professional. You know, they're very. This isn't something that somebody just filmed in the garage, man. These are great. I'm very impressed with all of this. And did you do the artwork for your Unrated 5 album? Because that's fantastic, whoever did that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I know a little bit about art, Emily, and that's good work right there. You know?
Oh.
Serious.
It's pen and ink. I work a lot in ink. I just like the old pens and that kind of stuff. So I really appreciate it. Always, I go online and I see all these artists. And I'm like, oh my God, I'll never see that good. But yeah, I really enjoy doing it.
No, you're right there, girl. If not better. So don't sell yourself short. That's cool, man. That is cool. Now, Zach, was music always like in your blood? Like when you were a kid, when you were a young, weird, spooky kid, did you know that, showbiz is what you wanted to be doing?
Yeah, I've always been crazy about music. Mostly I started out as a drummer. And I spent way too much time way too much time playing drums. But that's all I really cared about and what I wanted to do. I'm just very focused on music. That's all. I don't really care about doing other activities that much. It's just, you know, music 100%.
That's fantastic.
And I was actually raised in a, my parents are jazz musicians, and I was thrust into having to learn instruments. Like, didn't really have a choice. So as a kid, maybe I didn't think it was fun. But then when I got in my teens and I was finally able to, like, allowed to pick my own instrument, then music became more fun. So
there you go. That's the key. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a kid and you want them to get into music, you've got to let them, follow their path. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
What's the next track we should play, guys?
Play drums.
Oh, go ahead, Zach. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there. My fault.
I just said let them play drums because, you know, a lot of people will say that their parents didn't want to buy them a drum set because it was too noisy. But for a lot of kids, the drums is the most fun instrument because it's so loud and obnoxious. It's not like playing the piano or even the guitar. It's a lot different than playing guitar. So for me as a young kid, drums was pretty much just the best thing to do.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Which direction should we go next, guys? We've got Unspoken Embers and Carol Witch.
Could do Carol of the Witch since it's a holiday song. So that's from our last Christmas we did a Krampus Knot EP, and for Carol of the Witch is our version of Carol of the Bells.
Yes, with a twist.
With a twist, it's fantastic. It's my current favorite holiday song. I am in love with this. Here it is, everybody. This is Vazum, Carol of the Witch.
Yeah.
I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, my new favorite holiday Christmas song, or Krampus. There's, and Zach said this so well, I can't ever pronounce it, but the Krampus night, there's a special German word for it that I can't wrap my mouth around. How do you say it, Zach?
Oh, so it's Krampusnacht. Just get in there with the Nacht.
I love it. I love it.
Just get in there.
I love it.
Yeah, just get excited about those hard, those consonants. Yep. Krampusnacht.
I know that every family has at least one or two members of the, maybe your direct family, your close family, maybe a distant cousin or whatnot, but that are a little, and I'm not putting anybody down. I'm, as my wife says, she's young. I'm not throwing shade at anybody, but if you're a weird, spooky person like I am, and you know, you just get kind of tired of all the little comments during holidays and whatnot from that individual about, you know, the true meaning of Christmas and blah, 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 and the war on Christmas, I would suggest buying this track, Carol of the Witch, and sending it to them as a Christmas gift, just to make their holiday a little more interesting. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm... Remember that scene in Edward Scissorhands where he cuts the demon and the religious lady's wind? There you go. It could be your own little thing like that. Fantastic.
But it's But it's a holiday song.
That's right. Just thinking of the true
yeah.
spirit of Christmas, you know.
Yeah.
Of Krampus. That's yeah. awesome. I have a Krampus painting in my front yard right now. That's amazing. I refuse to take it down. Everybody's like, the night's already happened. I'm like, no, it's not even that cool. You know, the thing is, what annoys me about it is I have this Krampus painting, and he's a cool Krampus. You know, it's modern and everything. My neighbors are like, who is that? The Grinch in like a suit? Like, yeah, it's the Grinch. That's who it is. He's grumpy. Only if you're mad.
What is the Grinch? Is the Grinch his name, or is that like his job?
His species?
Or
yeah,
like
or his job?
Like what? Is that
I
his?
I don't know.
Yeah,
here's one that'll
great.
Blow your mind. Speaking of the Grinch, my my friend Julie, who I was telling you about off mic, we were at dinner one night, and she said, you know, the Grinch, he collected everything out of the trash that everybody threw out. I'm like, yeah, yeah, Julie, everybody knows that. She goes, he had a dog. Somebody threw that dog away. I'm like, oh, my God, I don't want to think about it.
Aww.
That's not cool. That's not good at all. Oh, my gosh. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
My Love Shack Apothecary online shop has everything you need to build a special gift for yourself or someone who needs a little pampering. I hand make all of the products in small batches using only plant-based ingredients and therapeutic grade essential oils. Whether you choose one of my curated sets or want to build a custom gift set, My Love Shack Apothecary has everything you need to send a little sunshine to someone today. Please visit us online at www.loveshackapothecary.com. That's www.loveshackapothecary.com. As well as online, on Instagram and Facebook. Links are in our website.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years.
The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please, visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Rucks Gear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Now, we have 2 more tracks, guys. Ember, before we play this, though, folks, as I mentioned before, Vazoom has, they're on every social media platform, and we have links. And if you're new to the show, when we convert this to a podcast, which is after we finish the show, we convert it tonight, and then we blast it out everywhere, and we're on everything, man. We're all the social media, but really all the podcasting platforms. We're on Pandora, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts at, there's a real good chance we're on it. We're on like, I don't know, 470-something right now. But those links follow the podcast. So if you listen to this on Spotify or whatnot, and you're like, man, I want to see some of these cool videos, well, just click on the YouTube link, and it'll get you right there to Vazoom's YouTube page. Those stay active, and they follow the podcast. So very, very cool. And again, all these tracks are available. You can buy these tracks. You know, freak out your religious friends with Carol Witch for Christmas. The next tracks we have are Embers and Unspoken. Which one do you guys want to go with next?
You can play Unspoken.
Okay.
Sure,
you want to lead into it? What's the story behind this one?
Unspoken is about both that have outmoded thinking and also a culture of trying to take something that starts out as a really positive movement and then trying to cash in on it. So yeah, it's a little
we love those people. Oh man.
So it's just kind of song about the irony of that situation and not being beholden to old outmoded thinking and to just always be like try to just be like your best self, basically. Just like be your best self.
That is awesome. Well, here it is, folks. This is Unspoken. Check it out. What a track, ladies and gentlemen. That was Unspoken, Vazum. I like Vazum. I like them a lot. I like the track a lot. Very, very cool. Another good one. Got you guys just do, you know, home runs after home runs. I'm very impressed.
Well, God, well, thank you. Thank you so much. We don't get we're not full of ourselves. You know, it's nice, and we're not even really sure people like us or our music most of the time.
We one of my friends said a passive aggressive thing, because we keep releasing, you know, new music every couple months. He's like, well, only 3% of it is good, you know.
I don't know about that.
If you start releasing a bunch of music, then people start getting angry,
mm-hmm.
because you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to spend 2 years making an album, and then release,
and then 5 years later do another.
Yeah,
it is so true. It is so true. It happens in the art world, guys.
Right,
it happens in my business. You know, I can't. The thing is you know, I paint every day, but sometimes, and I've had to do this with clients. You know, they're like, "Oh, I need this painting," and you're like, "Okay, well, I've got this time. I can." You're thinking in your mind how you can get this knocked out. You know, and
right.
You can't tell them you'll have this in 2 days. 3 days or something, because they get mad. They're like, well, you're supposed to get drunk in an alley first and then, you know, have an existential crisis before you paint, you know? And I'm like, and I had to learn that in the early days is pizza tastes better if you see some Italian guy throwing it up in the air, you know? They want the show a little bit.
Yeah.
And
sure,
that's fine, you know?
You mean, oh, you're going to cut off one of your ears first, right? Before you paint my portrait?
Exactly. It reminds me, when I was in college, there would always be these, like, professors in, like, my art history classes, and they're like, what was the meaning behind this painting? And it's funny, I'll tell you, as a professional artist of you know, a couple decades now, the meaning behind 99% of paintings that you'll see anywhere, museums, at a First Friday Art Walk, wherever, it doesn't matter, is rent or food.
Yeah.
Hunger. That's the meaning behind a lot of those paintings, you know. Very true.
Yeah.
And I hate it. I know, folks, I'm not the magician to tell you how to do the trick. I'm just saying it's a little bit of reality for you. The ear stuff's much more interesting. Well, you guys probably get the same thing, being in the rock scene, you know, in the music scene. You know, people expect you to do those Pink Floyd drunks where you go crazy and, you know, are all these your guitars? And you trash hotel rooms and throw TVs out windows and stuff. That's the dream. That's the fantasy everybody has.
Yeah. You know, our thing is making content and releasing music. And so a lot of people that I know, at least, they think that making content and doing more music than normal is like something you're not supposed to do, for some reason. But that's really all we have right now.
Like what their model is painstaking, and I'm not knocking this model, it's their model, just like, you know, but painstakingly record an album, talk about it for 5 years, then finally release this album. And never mention it again. That's their PR.
Yeah. Oh, so
man.
Finally post about
I know
it once.
That do that.
And
oh,
then
man.
They never see it. It's like, no, we love what we do. We
right.
are passionate about it.
So our whole thing is to, you know, be releasing, whether it's a single or an album, every couple months, have something new to release with visuals of some sort. Because if you don't do that, you end up just getting kind of forgotten about, because there's so many other bands doing the same thing. You have to keep in the game and keep your existing fans engaged, and then find new fans.
So, like, serializing and almost taking that, where, like, you do have people with podcasts and YouTube channels and, you know, content creators. We're looking at more as, like, this is something we love to do. Let's make it a regular process that we are generating content instead of, you know, just coming out with one thing and then
Absolutely. Here
you go.
Smart.
That's it.
And it keeps, and the fans like me are excited for the new content. I'm telling you, I'm not the only one, and I'm not, you know, the only one that's excited. I am looking forward to, what are we at? We're at 2 weeks now, right? Or a week and a half for Gallows, the premiere. If you folks don't
yeah.
know, listening, it's their new video, their new track's going to be premiered December 31st at noon Eastern.
Yep. Yep.
Happening.
Super Gallows. Yeah. And we were like, well, this isn't exactly a regular single, because it's not like a single and a B-side. We did our regular instrumental, the regular, like, rock death gaze version, and then we did an electronic version. So there's
nice.
Two versions. So we're calling it a double single.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah, so
I like that
not really
a lot.
The double single. I think we're going to try that for our next one, too, that we're going to be releasing soon. So,
look, it's really cool looking. Emily's in one of probably many of her gothic wedding dresses that she owns in the thumbnail
yeah.
for it, I remember seeing. And, you know, most gals, Emily, are happy with one. She's like, no, I need 12
yeah.
because it's going to get dirty.
They are going to
get
Didn't
you see the Love to Death video? Yes, I did.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, it's fantastic. Another thing I really like about a lot of you guys' music is the time of it. You guys don't make 2-minute songs, and I think that's cool.
Yeah. You know, some people have complained that the songs are too long. So
no way.
We're
strippers.
Yeah.
That's how long I can be complaining. They're great. They're great, man. I'm telling you, if you're hanging out at City Club and you see some cute person across the dance floor and you want to go dance with them, you want a Vazoon song on because, you know,
yeah.
time's going to pass.
Yeah, that's kind of the way that we looked at it. We had, there's one DJ that told me that just has like an internet show. He said that he'd play more of our songs if they weren't so long. So, you know, I mean, we're probably going to do shorter versions in the future, just so people have that option.
Well, no, we, you know,
That's
we
not a bad
it.
Idea.
We talked about
I
having
like them long.
Our version, a more radio edited, shortened version.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll always just
yeah.
include both.
You know
yeah,
who does
I mean,
that a lot is people in the in like the electronic dance community, like a lot of the trance DJs and whatnot. They'll
yeah.
drop a 7-minute piece of music, and then they'll have what they call the radio edit, where it's like 3.5 minutes or something,
right.
you know, chopped up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I get it. I get it. You know,
we actually shortened Gallows, the original version. Was 6.5 minutes, but we shortened it to 5.5. So,
no, that's still kind of long. I'm happy
yeah,
with
it
that.
Yeah, it is.
I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
I want to see Zach for 5.5 minutes looking all cool and vampiric, you know, and mysterious. I'm not complaining. It's good stuff, man. Good stuff. Now, the last track we're going to play tonight is Embers. Tell us a little bit about this track. This is what is it a three-minute song?
Yeah. Embers is a song that I was working on right around the time that me and Emily started working together. And then once I played it for Emily, she was like, this is awesome. So then we decided to record it and release it. And we did it at the beginning of the pandemic, so some of the lyrics are kind of about, like, the apocalypse and stuff like that. So it's kind of representative.
I'm telling you, when all this started, I was worried, guys. I wasn't worried, like, from a medical point of view. I was worried from, like, a road warrior point of view. I'm like, man, people are going to, like, mutants are going to come in here and kill me and my dog. Here it is, folks. This is Embers. That was Embers. How about that? Vazoom, Embers. I like it. Another great track. Another great track, you guys. Fantastic.
Thanks.
The scratchy guitar.
Thank you so much. The scratchy guitar. Yep. And scratchy bass.
Oh, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. We were talking, just started talking, actually, when we were off mic a little bit about, playing out and whatnot and support. I know it's hard to even ask this question because people just don't know right now, you know, and then this new variant's happening and whatnot. Are you guys kind of putting something together, or do you think kind of wait and see at this point?
We want to put together a small Midwest tour for like April or May.
I gotcha.
As far as shows go, it seems like people are playing shows, people are touring. So I don't think there's any worry really in being able to do that. At least, you know, just not during December, January, February is probably would be the worst time to do that. The COVID concerns seem to be like more of a seasonal thing. You know, every fall and winter, there's going to be a surge. So that's probably the time that you don't want those.
Yeah.
That's when you record.
Right.
That's when we record.
Yes.
In terms of, because we've played a couple local shows, and well, gosh darn it, you'd never know there was a pandemic. People are pretty laissez-faire, and that's just that's a little concerning. So, you know, we do want to always be mindful of the situation.
Right.
So I think whatever we do decide to do, it'll be at a time and in a way that kind of makes the best of the situation.
Yeah. Bands touring right now, I see announcements all the time that they have to cancel their shows because someone in the band has COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, you know,
happening
now,
a lot.
Really,
it's
and
really
big shows too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you know, down here in Miami, that iHeartRadio had to cancel their big Jingle Ball thing, you know, and if they're having to walk away from that kind of money, I'm like, ooh, that's serious, you know. It's crazy. Well, I think the thing for people to do then is to, follow you guys on your social media, like and share it and whatnot, and then they can keep updated with what's happening.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a fluid situation with that, you know, taking into account so that would definitely be the best way and the most consistent way to see the work consistently. We do really enjoy playing live and are really excited to start playing shows, but it's tempered by the reality of the situation too. So, yeah, social media and looking at the videos and going to our band camp and checking out, you know, whatever we've released lately is the best way for now.
Very cool. And speaking of band camp, one of the things also listed over there, folks, is some pretty kick-ass merch that the band has. Check out that enamel pin, man. That's pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. My wife's going to want one of those. So cool.
We can make it happen.
Nice. Oh, that's awesome. That is awesome. She just started a new business herself, and her and her friend selling crystals and whatnot. And they just went through the fun thing of ordering vinyl stickers. That's a whole learning curve to learn about.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, those are great. What'd you pay for them? I don't know. You know, I don't want to stay in the air. But she told me.
Yeah.
Like, are you crazy? She's like, how do you know all this stuff? I'm like, well, I've been doing this for a while, and all my friends are rock musicians. That's how I learned about merch. And I've ran a lot of merch tables over the years, you know?
Yeah.
That's how I got into shows. You know. You know how it is, Emily. Well, I always put the cute person at the merch table. What can I say?
You gotta,
what can I say?
Well, I ran my own jewelry company for 20 years, and I did the whole shebang, and so, yeah, I'm good with the merch table. I'm good at the merchandising. That's definitely my strong suit, and with jewelry design, and, you know, I had an original website, and then I had an Etsy website. I did stuff for Whoopi Goldberg, and
nice.
Was on The View. It was pretty fun. And then I made friends with Courtney Love in 2010, I think. And I did a bunch of stuff for her, so, yeah.
Well, there you go. That's so much fun to have at a party. So, Courtney, tell us about, all the adventures and whatnot.
She's got some stories. She has some stories. Sure. She was upset. She was a little upset when I stayed with her when I left, because... She's like, oh, my gosh, I should have had you, sign a non-disclosure agreement. I'm like, what? I'm not going to say anything.
You get to a point, you know, and people get a little weird and whatnot. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens. And,
yeah.
You know, before anybody listening that knew me in my heyday, you don't need to send me an email. I'm fully aware. What an app I was for a little bit. You get confused, you know. What can you say? Well, this is awesome, guys. Well, all of the tracks are all available on Spotify and whatnot, and that we played here tonight. I will say this, and I say it, you know, whenever we have bands on the show and whatnot, if you dig a musician, especially indie artist and whatnot, add their tracks or whatnot to your playlist. We all have playlists. That helps with the algorithm. It gets it tilts the pinball machine a little bit in their favor, and that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Like and share. Also, if you dig something, it's a real good chance your friends are going to dig it because you're friends, you know, common interests and all that. And I'm telling you, if you're a spooky individual and you're getting ready to go out clubbing for the night, this is the band you want to listen to before you head out.
But I have something that fits great with that. My best friend of years, she said, I sent her a preview of Gallows, the video, and she's like, wow, that's great. You guys are putting the reek in creepy.
Nice. There you go. I love it. And ladies and gentlemen, I will be, believe me, on December 31st, when it drops, I will be sharing that video all over my social media and whatnot, just to remind you. And and we're going to have Vazoom back on real soon. You know, when they have new stuff out and everything, we'll definitely have them back. You guys are a ton of fun. And I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be on the show. And I'm going to, a last thing I want to say to you, in case nobody said it, I'm sure you already know this, but if nobody said this to you today, keep doing what you're doing because you're real, real good at it. And it's awesome.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah, it's awesome work. Very, very cool.
Yeah. Thanks.
Well,
thanks for having us.
I know
we
really... Oh, yeah, anytime, man, anytime. Ladies and gentlemen, I know we went a little long tonight, but couldn't be helped. You know, we had some cool tracks to play and cool guests to talk to. I had a lot of fun. This episode is going to be converted to a podcast, as I mentioned before. It's going to be pushed out on all the social media platforms and on all the podcasting platforms. Be sure to check it out. You can also hear, we'll be adding the Zoom, the track we played tonight, all four of them, to our Pop Rocks Radio Spotify playlist. You can always get to that on the homepage of my website, jamierocks.us. And very, very cool. And that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. We will be back on Thursday the 23rd. We're going to be talking to a really interesting filmmaker. He wrote and starred and directed this new film. I don't think it's out yet. I think it's coming out. Maybe it comes out Christmas. I can't remember. It might be out, actually. It might be out. It's called The Scrapper, and it's a crime movie set in Brooklyn, and Barry Kane is going to be on talking about it. It's really, really good. I watched it the other night with my wife, Danny, and we both just really, but we're into that kind of stuff, you know. But we really, really dug it. So we will see you Thursday. Zoom, you guys, Zach and Emily, you guys are the best. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us on.
Anytime. Folks, we'll see you next time. Oh, and hey, if you're doing last-minute Christmas shopping, remember, so is everybody else, and they're freaked out as well. Be kind. Be nice, especially to the people working. You know, it's Christmas. Give us all a break. Don't be a Karen. We will see you next time. Bye, everybody.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.